Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining me. Joining me at home is Brian Malkowitz with the scary face over there. Over there.
Stop.
CT. And Travis Northup. Travis.
McClunky. How you guys doing?
The McClunky Master. On today's show, we're going to do a little bit of a shorter episode this week. On shorter weeks, we're going to do shorter episodes. Or lower news weeks, we're going to do shorter episodes. So, yeah, just mentally prepare yourself for that. We're going to talk about the perk nerfs, I guess is the best way to describe it. And we're going to talk a little bit about Fellwinter's Lie. So let's start with the reload perks. That was probably the main focus of the TWAB this week. The section is called Lock and Load Reload Perk Updates. We've observed that players lean towards picking perks that increase their damage, example, kill clip, or reduce weapon downtime, example, outlaw. And then they talk about a myriad of nerfs and ways that they're toning down all the things that make you do damage faster. Outlaw is the reload stats basically being cut in half. The duration is going up for the scaling from 0.8 to 0.9. Feeding frenzy is changing drastically. Rapid hits changing fast rapidly. Basically, everything's going to take longer to reload, right? And the perks that you get for, say, getting a kill will still reload faster, but not like half as fast, basically.
At least for Outlaw, half as fast, yeah.
Yeah. I guess let me just... Oh, and then additionally, we're fixing an issue where perks that grant partial weapon ammo did not respect shot count for burst weapons. That means that these perks will now work correctly on pulse rifles, fusions, and burst sidearms. So these perks will be more common on those weapon archetypes in the future. That's like Slideways, Slideshot, Ambitious Assassin, Subsistence, Overflow, Lead from Gold, and Clown Cartridge. So I'll start with Brian. Brian, what's your general reaction to this?
And that's Travis, my general reaction to that.
Travis, I knew that was going to be his general reaction.
No, like initially I'm kind of just like kind of disappointed with it because like we use those perks all the time because they're good, right? Like it's like you should probably spend more time making other perks better first before you do this to entice us to use those other perks that nobody ever uses. But I'm still kind of like just wanting to wait and see, right? Because like they're seemingly nerfing Outlaw by 50%, but like it's going from reload speed from 0.8 seconds to 0.9. So that on paper, that doesn't seem like a lot. So I want to see how that changes before like I kind of just make up my mind on whether or not that's something to be angry about or not. So I'm kind of just going to wait until I see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I guess my take is more that these changes all seem pretty boring to me. And I'm really excited for them to make new weapons and new perks. That part, they kind of touched on it a little bit in the TWAB, I think is exciting. And I really am looking forward to new activities. But changing the way mods work and perks work are not the way you get me excited about Destiny. So
I am super stoked. I don't know about you guys. You must be crazy. I can't wait for longer, reload times and less damage. Man, if you had a bulletin board of things I wanted in Destiny 2, I'd be like, make me do less damage and make reloads take longer. And I'm just in heaven, man.
They got you.
I'm surprised to hear so much pessimism on your side of the table. Just absolutely shocked. I mean, we're recording this Thursday night, right? So the internet they have to be on my side, right? They have to be loving this, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, everybody, nothing about every. If you look at the Reddit, everybody is singing praises about this. No, it's like, I don't know. It's still a little weird to me. But like I said, I still just want to wait and see how all that messes with the meta. But it's like at the same time, like, why nerf these reload speeds? It's like reload speeds, at least in PvE, don't really break the game in a sense, right? So it's like, yeah, I'm killing a bunch of thrall, a bunch of taken here, and like just mowing through them, at least with like last hope or something, and I reload, you know, 0.1 second faster. It's not like that's breaking the game or something, right? Like Outlaw and Feeding Frenzy is not destroying boss encounters and raids or something. So it's not like those perks needed an adjustment, you know, to slow us down in some capacity. It's kind of a weird decision.
Inversely, they're bringing up dynamic sway reduction, pulse monitor, hip fire grip, and sneak bow, and hip fire is getting a noticeable buff. So there's that. And there's some new perks coming also. Next season, we'll have new perks rolling exclusively on Season of the Redacted Weapons. Additionally, Iron Banner will be receiving two new perks on two reprised weapons. That means old weapons that they brought back, but they're going to have a different, more interesting role. In future seasons, these perks will begin to roll on other weapons. While we don't want to spoil the fun of discovering and testing new perks, we will leave you with the names of upcoming Iron Banner perks. Iron Grip and Iron Gaze. Iron Gaze sounds like the one where you aim down breathing. Yeah.
And Iron Grip, Gaze, like it's like a, like you, if you're gazing, you're just like, you get a buff for ADSing or something.
Yeah. And Iron Grip has to be like a swap speed thing, right? I don't know. We'll figure it out later.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, seriously though, my reaction to this is just bewilderment more than anything. What are they what are they planning? What's the thing?
That's the thing. It's like they were kind of like saying like, oh yeah, we don't want to spoil the fun of like finding out new perks and testing them out. It's also like when you do a nerf like this, like you kind of got to meet us halfway and maybe give us a small preview of what's to come, so that way we're not entirely upset about it. Because it's like if you take something away or you make something less effective, but you also show us, hey, this is also on the horizon other than just the name of these Iron Banner perks, it's like just give us a preview of something, so that way that like the whiplash of these nerfs doesn't hit as hard. And just meet us halfway on that, you know, because like not everything about a new season needs to be a secret, especially perks.
And Travis, I have to imagine that they're going to do that soon. How far off do you think we are from a new Bungie reveal? E3 typically would have been in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, but Bungie doesn't typically go to a lot of E3s. I think they were in previous years because they were with Sony, but that's usually not their big event. They like to do like their own reveals. So I think we're pretty close. I think they're going to wait for the next season to kind of kick off and for people to kind of understand what that's about, and then they'll probably use the reveal of the September expansion to get people more energized when inevitably the next season is kind of more of what we've been doing, right? Probably one new activity and match made six player activity or something like that. That's not going to be all that fun. So
I don't think
that's my pessimistic take.
Yeah, I think next season is going to have interesting items, right? But is it going?
It's a lead up, so it's got to be interesting.
Yeah. Is it going to be like earth shatteringly amazing? Probably not. It'll probably be our first step into like the new sandbox changes and such. But honestly, all these perk changes have me not hyped in any way. And longer reload times is not something that gets me excited, obviously.
But just remember, like, if you actually read the numbers don't make it seem so bad, right? Like, Outlaw going from 0.8 seconds to 0.9 seconds, I don't think is going to ruin anybody's day.
I already complain about how long some of the guns take to reload, and now I'm going to be getting rolls where I'm just like, wow, that takes even longer now. It's just like, you know what? Bring back sprint cooldown while you're at it.
Destin, yeah, we're going to end this podcast right now if you're going to bring that up.
Yeah, bring back sprint cooldown and make one of the artifact unlocks unlimited sprint. You remember? Because that was in Destiny.
Yeah, that was
the thing in Destiny 1. They brought that cooldown.
Didn't everybody think it was like a bug when they introduced it? and then everybody was like just complaining about it for a while. It's like, get rid of the sprint cooldown. And then Rise of Iron comes out and they give us an artifact that has sprint cooldown.
Unlocking like
what? That's a feature.
Yeah. In addition to these notes, we have upcoming archetype buffs. Next season, we're taking a quick pass on a few weapon archetypes that have been underperforming. Slug shotguns are underused in PvE because they require crits to maximize damage and don't reward that precision with higher damage per second. Slug shotguns PvE damage up 30%. High impact pulse rifles underused in Crucible. So those are getting damage per bullet from 21 to 22. That's actually pretty significant for a pulse. Changes it from 6 crits to 5 crits, 1 body to kill a guardian in PvP at most resilience values. Interesting. That's going to be a significant change. Bows are underused in challenging content. I was like, actually, bows are used in PvP quite a bit.
Yeah.
Even though they don't like pop up, I've seen some really, really good bow players online because they hit you with that bow and then they just like one shot you with their quick swap weapon. Anyway, PvE damage versus miners is up 10%. I think that's less significant. I don't think we're going to see a dramatic increase in bow usage going forward.
They use a good term here that I want. They said in analytics, they see that bows are underused in challenging activities or challenging content. What are their analytics for scout rifles?
Yeah.
Because nobody's using scout rifles. Rocket launchers, right? Like, when do you see anybody saying, all right, bring this rocket launcher into this raid or to this grandmaster? Like, nobody. No, it's like those two weapons have been like, in the back, like just, you know, sitting in the back of everybody's vaults for the better part of a year and a half because, like, they just, for some reason, Bungie's afraid of scouts and rocket launchers. It's like, I want to know what their analytics say about those weapons.
Well, why would they be afraid of rocket launchers? I don't get it.
Well, yeah, Gjallarhorn's not in the game. There's not an excuse.
Well, there's Wardcliffe. Wardcliffe is kind of.
All right, Wardcliffe. Yeah. All right. But Wardcliffe being like an outlier and an exotic and doesn't function the way like normal rocket launchers do.
Right.
Yeah. So hot take, they never will bring back Gjallarhorn. I truly think.
I think they will someday.
You think?
I think they will.
I think so. Yeah. That's their scapegoat, man. That's their emergency button, right? Like if player numbers are dwindling to a critically low all-time low, it's like you hit that Gjallarhorn button and you got yourself an influx of players.
That's funny. They're gonna release it a week before Destiny 3 comes out just so they can break the game right before they leave.
That's fine.
Okay, so real quick, there was one last item in the TWAB that I wanted to go over. It's a future archetype updates. And here's what they say in the TWAB. We've been evaluating feedback in our analytics data, and while we're not done yet, we wanted to touch on 3 community pain points. Our current goal is to touch on these in Season 12, but we'll be sure to let you know if plans change. Sniper rifles. Community feedback has been that Revoker and Beloved dominate, and looking at analytics, they account for 86% of the sniper rifle usage in the Crucible, and if we include other low-zoom sniper rifles, the number gets even higher. We're specifically looking at how zoom translate into ease of use for sniper rifles. We're investigating changes that make choosing a sniper rifle zoom more of an interesting choice. I do not think that this is possible to be successful at. There will always be a god tier perk that you want on your sniper. And there will always be a god tier scope that you're going to want in your sniper. That's how it was in Destiny 1. That's how it landed in Destiny 2. And I don't care what they change the combinations to be. There's going to be one god tier combination going forward.
Yeah, now, when they reintroduce a new one, it's going to be another one. It's always how it is.
Yeah.
Every time.
Unless they nerf all the perks, all the mods, and there is no god roll, guys. This is their master plan.
So that's Destiny year one.
What I'm wondering is, I think the only way that they could do anything there is they would literally have to remove Snapshot. Snapshot is too powerful of a perk on a sniper rifle for Crucible specifically to have it still roll on stuff and not have that just be the superior drop. So really what you're chasing is you'll be chasing Snapshot and you'll be chasing whatever scope ends up being the meta, right? So
yep.
I don't know how they could be successful with this. Why do people use Beloved? Because they have Snapshot and they have the other things exactly where they want them. And that just, it just feels so good. So you want to make sniper rifles better. Maybe have more of them have Snapshot, right? And yeah. as opposed to whatever they're going to do instead, like with the different scopes, I don't know. That's going to be really interesting. And I don't think it's going to translate to more choices. I think it's going to translate to a different god, one different god tier choice. Right. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, that's how it happens every time. Like, right. Like look at the cycle of like Gambit heavy weapons, right? Sleeper simulant. Everybody complains about that. So what happens? Bungie nerfs it. Something takes its place. Everybody complains about Queensbreaker. They nerf Queensbreaker. Truth takes its place. Everybody hates it. They bring in Xenophage. Yeah. Everybody hates it. It's just like, it's going to be a never ending cycle. Is when people complain too much about one thing, that thing gets taken away. Something's going to take its place no matter what, just because that's how it is. It's always going to be that way.
Yeah. Travis, any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that, except with the notable exception of Telesto, which will never get nerfed because no one knows how to nerf it. Or, yeah, they can't control it.
Just Telesto's not a good gun unless it breaks in a positive way for you to be more powerful.
Amazing gun.
It's pretty good in PvP. It's
an amazing gun. Pretty good in PvE.
It's good in PvP because it's a stupid gun that I hate. Yeah. I hate going.
No, I agree. It's very cheesy. I love it.
Like, yeah. Hand cannons. We're evaluating hand cannon subfamilies as an example. We're breaking out aggressive hand cannons to let us tune their range independently of others. Okay. Adaptive auto rifles. Auto rifles in general are highly represented in Crucible, but generally feel balanced. Adaptive auto rifles are a little higher, so we're looking at them. We're not rolling back the Season 10 buff, but we're adjusting the tuning a little to give other auto rifle subfamilies a chance to shine. That one actually seems pretty fair. That's one I actually agree with, and I'm like, that makes sense to me and why you would do that.
Well, it was starting to scare me because, like, for a long time, it was auto rifles that Bungie has been afraid of and like letting them be powerful. So I'm just hoping that they don't tune something too drastically to make auto rifles feel like crap again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So the season's ending pretty soon. We're going to be going through some pretty massive sandbox changes. Overall, I really like players will always go for damage things in video games. You know,
if that increases my damage, that's what I'm going to use.
Right. They've introduced one passive teammate benefit item, Lumina, right? Or Lumina, however you say it.
Lumina.
That's the only time that I can think of where it was a gun that actually healed your teammates. And it's just so situational that it just never really, really hit. So
because it requires you to take your DPS and place it into like a supportive role in Destiny, where it's like in a lot of cases we don't need that.
Yeah.
If it's taking away your damage.
I think philosophically they might be in a little bit of a weird situation because what they've decided to do is make weapons less powerful, but they haven't changed the meta of what weapons are supposed to do enough to make them more interesting in other ways. If that makes sense. And that's just sort of my take on it. And I don't know how they address that problem either. Like, I don't have a good solution there.
That's where Bungie comes in, right? That's their job.
New subclasses would be a good way to go about it. And if the data leaks that 4chan posted are to be believed,
no way.
We're getting new ones. But yeah, we are doing a shorter episode this week. We broadcast on Samsung televisions now, so we're coming up on the 22-minute mark. And I do want to give a little bit of time to talk about the Lie Quest. So, Travis, what happened with the Lie Quest? Take us through it.
Well, everybody grinded to get, like, what was it, 6 or 9 million? Nine million? Yeah, 9 million Seraph Towers done, which was horrible. I did one.
Even though it wasn't technically 9 million because everybody counted for times 5 and then for times 10 on the weekend. So it wasn't.
It felt like 9 million to me personally, and I only did one.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so you didn't help.
I helped.
What you're saying is you don't deserve that. You don't help. You don't deserve that gun.
initially it was just regular. Then they buffed it times 5, and then over the weekend they buffed it times 10, and they were able to finish it. But I think it goes, it says a lot about how enjoyed the Seraph Towers were. But now,
they were not.
You can finish it. They patched it.
Like, yeah,
a week later.
Yeah. So, and then what happened once everybody completed that phase of the quest that was very grindy is that people, after getting, what did you have to get? Shotgun kills?
Thousand, 1,000 shotgun kills. That's after doing the Vostok mission.
Yeah.
Yep. Then people found themselves spawned in front of Eris Morn, myself included. I think it was everybody. Maybe
it's everybody. Nobody could get it.
Got it. Nobody could get it. And they finally did a hot fix this morning to open those doors. Although I have not had a chance to proceed through those doors. And
it's just a lore mission. So.
Do you guys happen to know how many more quest steps there are? Am I going to?
It's literally just that one. It's just that one.
Oh wow!
Do that mission and you're done. It was a big punch in the gut. I'm not really mad at them, but I have to say this is like one of the worst timed bugs I've ever seen in Destiny. And like it was just like player sentiment's already pretty low. This certainly didn't help it. And I think I see a lot of people in the community, and I appreciate this, trying to remain positive about the whole thing.
You think about the outrage of the community, and it's like no matter how angry people are, the developers behind us were probably 1,000 times more upset about this bug.
Was like their thing for the season. This was them going out into the next season with a cool thing, and they blew it, and they have to be not happy about that.
It's kind of like around the time Whisper of the Worm came out, where you know, it was kind of the end of a season. I remember everybody was feeling pretty bad about it. This would be like if at the end of that mission, Whisper of the Worm didn't drop. Or
you know, it'd be like if Whisper of the Worm was available, but then only the drill mission spawned.
For a whole something like that. You just have to do the drill mission a bunch. Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. The one you needed didn't spawn, so they ran into that bug back then. And I didn't know that was a bug. Like, it wasn't until like they fixed it that I did. But anyway, I think obviously we're let down. It's a bummer that that was how the quest ended, but I'm excited to experience it today. And honestly, I am so excited to leave this season behind me and move forward, because this is my least favorite season by a mile, a mile.
Side note, did either of you guys get Conqueror?
Nope.
Not yet. Are you going to get it?
I already got it.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
Well, as I said, this would be a shorter episode this week. Lie was a bummer. We went over the weapon changes. Let us know what you guys would like to hear us discuss next week. And until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.